Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so glad that you've joined me again today. I'm back with Nancy Manos and we are having fun this week. We are talking all about successful homeschooling and some of the things that get in our way. We kind of talked about success and what success looks like in our Christian homeschools. And, you know, it looks different than what the world thinks success looks like. And so if you missed our conversation in the beginning, go back and listen to Monday's episode and yesterday's episode, which was on Wednesday. And we're going to continue kind of down this road of how to successfully homeschool. And I know it looks different for everybody. Not everybody has this. I mean, no one has the same homeschool. It's you know, it's interesting because it's kind of like a fingerprint. Everybody has a unique fingerprint. Everybody has a unique homeschool as well. I don't think there's a person whose homeschool looks exactly the same as someone else's. We're all using different curriculum. We all have different sized families. We all use different methods. We all have different learning styles. We all have different teaching styles. So there's not one formula that works perfectly for everybody. But some of these things that we're talking about today will help anybody and everybody to be successful no matter how you teach, no matter how you homeschool, no matter how your kids learn. And again, pointing them back to Jesus. That's it. That's what it's all about. You know, how can we point our kids towards the cross? Ultimately, that is what matters most. And so I want to talk a little bit about goal setting. And we've kind of breezed over this a little bit, but I know, and I think it was the last time we talked when we talked about The Price is Right, you were on a few weeks ago. And we talked a little bit about goal setting and knowing your why. And we have to kind of know what the end goal is. But I want to dig into that just a little bit more and how as homeschoolers, we can set goals for our children and for ourselves.
Sure. Well, I think one thing that's really helpful is to determine where your child is right now. So you're not just looking at what level of math they're in or spelling, but you also want to evaluate, like, where are they spiritually and physically, emotionally, and socially? Because we're not just doing academics. You know, there's physical things, like before they can write, they need fine motor skills. So, you know, there's all those kind of things. But are they, do they need help with how to interact with other people, you know, social things, emotional things? So start by identifying where they are. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to set measurable, attainable goals. And so talk about it with your spouse, talk about it with your child, if they're a little bit older too, and figure out, you know, how to incorporate these objectives. You know, say you want your child to, I can't even think of an example right now, but, you know, pick a spiritual goal. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's read through the Bible in a year as a family. Well, then you need to, by having that goal, then you work it into your daily schedule so that you can accomplish that goal. And then you want personal goals and family goals too. And then the reason that you have goals is because you then evaluate every activity, your curriculum, everything that you do gets evaluated against your goals. Does this meet our goals? So maybe a family goal is we're having dinner together, you know, every weeknight or whatever, or we don't have a lot of extracurricular activities because family time is important. Well, then when an opportunity comes up, you know, you have this personal family goal. And you have to assess as a family, like, okay, are we going to say yes or are we going to say no? So those can really help you. And then in talking about our final obstacle to success is a lack of organization. Hmm. So you're right. Organization is one of my very favorite things in my life. And I believe it's a biblical principle. Order promotes peace. Hmm. So if you have piles everywhere and you are fighting to find what you need, it creates stress. And we can eliminate that. Now, this is not about perfection. Again, it's not about having everything constantly organized. You live in your house,
right,
and you have small people living in your house, and you're doing things all day. It's different if you're away at work all day and you come home at dinner time and no one made a mess. So we have to be okay with the messes. But it's about creating an environment where learning can happen because you're not, you know, wading through a mess,
right,
and you can find your supplies and those kind of things. So I have some tips for organizing your supplies and your day and things like that.
Yeah, bring it.
Okay. So some of the things, now keep in mind, I my children graduated in 2010 and 2011. So I did not homeschool when there was Google Drive and things like that. But these are some of the things that I found really helpful that my kids could also participate in. We had a lateral file, and I had a color hanging file folder for each girl, and each subject had a tab, and I made them responsible for filing their paperwork, because I would get overwhelmed. You've probably felt this way. If you have a stack of papers waiting to be looked at,
oh yes,
like it would kill me emotionally, right, mentally. And so I needed things organized so that I could deal with them when I was ready and I knew where to find them. And so 3-ring binders, mm-hmm, hanging file folders, you know, that any of those kind of things can be really helpful, and have your kids help you. It's good for them to learn skills, but they want to be part of the, you know, the team. We used a lot of plastic bins and drawers. I'm a big fan of a label maker.
Yeah. And they're just fun.
I know. But having a place for everything and teaching your kids to put things back when they're done, mm-hmm, and also teaching yourself to put things back when you're done. You know, if you set it down, you have to pick it up later.
Right.
So you could just put it back. So we always had a rule in our house: don't put it down, put it back.
Oh, that's a good one.
And my kids would roll their eyes every time I'd say it. But you know what? They learned it. And now, you know, Olivia's a mom of two and she appreciates,
yeah,
these little pointers. Something that's really helpful with your homeschool supplies is to have a designated place for things. Even if you don't have a designated homeschool room, like have a shelf or a closet or a bin or something in the area where you do school. Mm-hmm. We always had a policy is not the right word, but a rule, basically. We did not let the girls keep their school things in their bedrooms because, mm-hmm, I felt like I would never find them again. I wanted their rooms to be a place of relaxation. And so if it was put everything done back at the end of the day, then we knew where to find things the next day. And then also as the mom prepping for the next day, I had to look ahead, you know, is there a science experiment, a craft project? Do I have all those supplies? Because there is nothing worse than sitting down at the table, we're going to do this project,
right,
and you can't find something. You know what? Your kids, keeping their attention, if they're anything like mine, once I lost their attention,
oh,
it was really hard to get it back.
Yep.
So those are some pointers there, like, you know, your art supplies and your science supplies and your math manipulatives and things. Have a place for them, mm-hmm, even if it's, you know, a small corner of your dining room on a bookshelf with bins or something.
Right.
So,
there is beauty in organization. I tell you, I don't know what I would do without having any kind of organization. It's hard. We actually just moved to a new home, and when we got here, I had school, you know, all of our school supplies, but a lot of it had been boxed up for a long time. And
sure.
So now I've unboxed it and I'm like, I don't have anywhere to put this stuff because our, right, you know, we kind of have a school area, but it's a den. And there's not a closet in there. So as a matter of fact, just yesterday I told Gary, I said, I really need some kind of a closet. I need something to put this stuff in because it's sitting in boxes right now and it's driving me nuts.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. And it actually ends up being a big waste of time throughout your, yeah, day, because then you spend your time trying to find the things that you're looking for. And when if you just knew where they were, you know, I've had times where I've had late library finds, and I know I'm not the only one, but because I can't find a library book, you know, I know we have it. I don't know where it is. It's under the couch, under a bed, who know, in the car. And, but if you have a specific place for that library book to be, then it's, yep, not as easy to lose it. So let's take a quick, yep, break. We will be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Nancy, and we were talking before the break about organization and the importance of organizing kind of our school stuff. I know that there are a lot of really great YouTube videos out there. Christy Clover is one that's fantastic. We've had her on the podcast a couple of times before, and she's fantastic at just organization. And so you can go look on her website or on her YouTube channel, and she's got all kinds of great videos on there. And I know there are a lot more that you can find. It can get overwhelming, but Christy's probably one that I would really recommend for watching videos of how to organize if that's what people enjoy. But let's talk about organizing your day, your homeschool day, because this is something that I know a lot of people struggle with. And the beauty of homeschooling that I love, and I appreciate that you said this about your girls, is that they were not early risers. And so you would start your homeschool day later. And I've talked about this on the podcast lots of times. We typically don't start our homeschool day till somewhere between, I would say typically 11 and 12.
Sure.
That's just how we roll. But my girls go to bed typically at night between 11 and 12, sometimes midnight. And that's just because the job my husband has had for so many years required him to get home late. And that was just the cycle that we got into as a family. So they go to bed really late. They wake up later than most kids. But because we homeschool, we can do that. And it works great for us. And so, you know, I every few months, I'll try to think, okay, I really need to get my girls up. We've got to get up early and get going early. And then I try to do that. And it's a disaster because then they're tired. And then the whole day just falls apart. But there definitely is something to be said about organizing your day. What did that look like for you, and what practical advice can you give to moms who are trying to figure out how to just organize their homeschool day?
Yeah. Well, to piggyback on something you just said, I think people are concerned that if you don't make your kids start early in the morning, you know, then when they grow up and they have a job, they're not going to be able to get up and go to work. Or you didn't make them sit at a desk, you let them lay on the couch, they're not going to be able to sit and work like regular people. Okay, that's totally untrue. Our youngest had a job that started at 6 a.m. and she, you know, had no problems.
Yeah.
When it was time, when she was grown and had a job, and she got herself there, you know. So they're there in the season that they're in, right?
Right.
And I think it's okay to have things be fit your kids' needs and your family's needs. So one of the things that we did was look at what works best for our family. And so you need to do this for years. Yeah. And you found kind of the rhythm that works for years. Especially in the teen years, I really appreciated that my kids could sleep in, because teenagers need more rest.
Yes.
You know, for us, I found that the best time for kind of our schoolwork was between 9 or 9:30 and lunch. And so, you know, because if I had any like math or history or anything in the afternoon, they weren't as inclined to sit and do their work, and they weren't really as interested. And so we set up our school time for the morning, and I worked hard to protect that. It was rare to do a field trip or take a day, you know, do something else that took place in the morning. Now, if something cool came up, we would do it.
Sure.
But I knew that I needed to protect that. And then we saved art projects and science experiments and read alouds and, you know, piano lessons and all those things for the afternoon. And that just worked for us. There's some people that, you know, maybe you do have to work, mm-hmm. and you work in the morning and then you do your schooling in the early afternoon and into the evening. There's nothing wrong too with, say you're behind in like history or science, you could do a history Saturday and do a bunch of lessons, you know, in one day. So figure out what works well for you, but then kind of try to have a routine that your family can depend upon. And your homeschool schedule can vary. Like a lot of people do a 4-day week and they take Fridays off or, you know, whatever. And then schedule things like doctor appointments and dentist appointments and phone calls you need to make for after school, so you're not also interrupting the day. And I love this Heidi St. John tip is to, you know, plan dinner early in the day.
Yeah.
You don't want to be standing there at 4 o'clock with frozen meat going, what am I going to do?
Like me. Pretty much every day of my life.
Use your crock pot. It's a good friend.
Tacos again tonight. Now,
right? Hey, there's nothing wrong with tacos.
No, I know.
So a few closing, you know, kind of encouragements on, you know, success, tips for successful homeschooling. Remember that God's mercies are new every morning. Thank goodness our children are pretty resilient and they're very forgiving, especially if we have that attitude of we understand we have, you know, caused pain or we have been crabby or whatever, and we apologize. You know, so cultivate that culture of forgiveness and relationship. But they are pretty good at adapting when things are not going well. And they're pretty forgiving, and I'm grateful for that. But remember that God will meet you in the new day.
Yep.
Don't carry yesterday's, you know, grief or regret with you. Just repent and move on.
Yeah.
Look for God in the everyday little mundane moments. You know, so much of homeschooling is just regular, repetitive activities. And sometimes it can feel kind of like rote or mundane. But God is in those daily moments, you know, washing dishes and cooking dinner and doing math. He will meet you there. And I think we need to not feel like every encounter with God is going to be this spectacular mountaintop thing. He meets us in the day.
Yeah.
You know, listen to God because he will give you the answers that you need. If there is a challenge, if there is a need, he loves you and he loves your kids and he is a good father and he wants to bless you and provide for you and meet your needs. So I think listening to him. And then the last thing I will say is decide to enjoy the journey. Mm. Enjoy your kids and enjoy your life. This isn't, it's a season of sacrifice, but it doesn't need to be a season of drudgery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like there can be joy in this season and a lot of fun together.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a great way to tie this up. You know, it, there is so much joy when we look for it. And so much of it is about perspective. How are we seeing our kids through the lens of scripture, through God's eyes, you know, as much as we can. I mean, we're not God, of course, but you know, how does he see them? And then trying to see them in light of how he made them, how he created them, and ourselves as well, you know, cut ourselves some slack. I know I have a hard time doing that sometimes, but I love that you say, you know, just enjoy the day and finding little moments. You know, the other day, Garrett was home editing and he has these big speakers in his studio. And so he was playing some song and he just pumped up the volume and the girls were like, dance party. And so he was literally the middle of the school day. And so we went into Garrett's office and the four of us had a dance party and, you know, just that's little awesome. Things like that. It's just fun to find ways to rejoice together and break up the monotony of the school day, you know, go outside and enjoy the sunshine, go for a walk, you know, go do the things that your kids enjoy doing. But yeah, I mean, and I love God's mercies are new every morning. Praise him for that. I mean, it's good to have a new day every day and be grateful that he gave us another day to serve him, another day to speak truth and life into the hearts of our children. So he is a good father. Nancy, thank you so very much for your time this week and for your encouragement. You are an absolute joy and a blessing. And thank you again. I know we talked in the first time we interviewed, I interviewed you a few weeks ago about just the role you have played in serving on the board of the Arizona Christian Homeschool Organization that you were part of for so long, and with the alliance that serves homeschool families all across the nation. I thank you for your service and sacrifice that you've made for families like myself.
You know, it's like important to protect the freedom to homeschool, and I'm so thankful for these state homeschool organizations across the country that do that, that are at the state house watching laws that might impact homeschool freedom. Yep. It's so important that we protect this right.
Yes.
Able to teach our children at home.
Oh, absolutely. If you guys who are listening, if you missed my interview with Zan Tyler a few weeks ago, please go back and listen to that. It is one of the most important interviews I've done ever in the 2.5+ years we've been doing this podcast. It's so powerful for what's going on today. We have to keep fighting for those freedoms. Freedom isn't free, and it hasn't ever been free. So thank you again, Nancy. You're a blessing.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for listening. Have a fantastic rest of your week, and we will see you back here on Monday with another fantastic guest. See you then. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.